I've got regards for you, Rosenzweig.
From?
From Peter Rosenzweig. Or whatever it is, I don't know what he really is.
Do you know where he's from, by any chance?
He's from America. He says he was used to be a member of the school.
I'm trying to remember. So we're both saying, if you can turn to page Lamed Tes, and we're looking at a paragraph Vehine Arashba, which is the last paragraph on Lamed Tes. And in order to appreciate this, we will review a little bit of what we said about this concept of lighting the Ner Chanukah on the Shulchan. And you remember that the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis formulates the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in the ideal way, which is to light it mi Pesach Beisom mi Bachutz. But Mishasa Sakana, that when there was a danger period, Menichal Shulchano Vidayo. The Rambam seems to indicate that the real mitzvah of Ner Chanukah begins and ends with Al Pesach Beiso. The Shasa Sakana period is a whole new entity. That's not really the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's a new takana, if you will, to facilitate the ability of fulfilling the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah when there's no possibility of doing so, because you can't put your life into danger. But the Ritva, if you remember, was of the opinion, no, that even in the original context of mitzvahs Ner Chanukah, mi Pesach Beis HaBachutz was l'chatchila. That's the ideal way of fulfilling the mitzvah. But even during that period of time, way before the Sakana period, if need be, then you could light inside the house. And what would be a need be? Says the Ritva, in a case where the Pirsum HaNes shifts from the outside to the inside, because it's after Achetichla Regel Min HaShuk, it doesn't mean that you forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Albeit in a secondary kiyum, it's not the L'chatchila perfect way of doing it, and you can light inside, and the Pirsum HaNes now becomes for the Bnei HaBayis. Where does the Rashba fit in to this whole machlokes between the Rambam and the Ritva? So to analyze that, we look at the Rashba, who wants to know the following. What's Rav's opinion on the machlokes, whether mutal l'shtamish li'ora or asul l'shtamish li'ora? We had the opinion of Rav Huna and Rav Chizda that mutal l'shtamish li'ora. We had the opinion of Rav, who said asul l'shtamish li'ora. Where does Rav fit into the picture? Comes along the Rashba, and he says, I'll prove to you that Rav holds asul l'shtamish li'ora, and he agrees with the sheet of Rav. Why? Because Rav says, on Daf Chuf Gimel, that if you have funds to buy either a Ner Chanukah or a Ner Shabbos, and you're in a triage situation, then you buy a Ner Shabbos. In other words, that one Ner could not function in a dual capacity. So the Rashba says, I don't understand why. If mutal l'shtamish li'ora, if you would be, let's say you agree, or if Rav would agree with Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, that you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, then why can't the Ner Chanukah serve as an Ner Shabbos as well? The purpose of Ner Shabbos is to illuminate your table, your Shabbos meal. So why can't you use a Ner Chanukah for that purpose? Al Karcha, says the Rashba, we have to assume that according to Rava, Asur L'shtamesh Li'ora. Now, what is the Rashba? There's one premise that's a little bit below the surface that must be the Rashba's assumption.
You can light on the table.
Exactly. That you can light on the table. If the Rashba would not hold like the Ritva, that if need be, you light on the table, then his whole logical argument makes no sense. If you have to light the candle outside your house, that can't be in their shops. The premise of the Rashba is that you can have one candle functioning in a dual capacity if you hold mutal l'shtamish li'ora. And that would only make sense if you're lighting on your table. And therefore, if you want to highlight it, if you go five lines up from the bottom of the page Lamed Tes, Bal Karchach, the Svirle L'Rashba, the Af Again, the issue of whether it's mutal ishtamish liora or asal ishtamish liora has nothing to do with shasa sakana. That's you're going back to the basics of Ner Chanukah, and the Rashba assumes that if mutal ishtamish liora, you could have a Ner Chanukah that functions also at the same time as a Ner Shabbos. It must be that even before shasa sakana, you could light a Ner Chanukah on the table. So what would be the compelling reason to put your Ner Chanukah on the table? The Ritva says the compelling reason is because there's no one outside in the street. It's after Tichlei Regel Min HaShuk. Cut your losses and at least light inside and gather together the troops and have a Heker and a Pirsman Es for the Bnei Abayis. The Rashba is saying, I have another compelling reason why you should light his candle on the table. How much money does he have? If let's say a candle costs 10, how much money does he have in his bank account? 10. That's all he has. That's his total assets. Now he has a Shabbos of Chanukah. Should be relevant tomorrow night, right? He has only 10. He can either buy a Ner Shabbos or a Ner Chanukah. Says the Rashba, why does he have to buy two candles? Let him fulfill both mitzvahs with one candle, with that 10. But that could only make sense if he's going to put his candle on the table. So here's a situation where he doesn't have the option of putting his Ner Chanukah outside his house, because if that be the case, he would undermine the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And Ner Shabbos trumps Ner Chanukah. So if he only has money for one candle, that's going to be a shas adchak, so to speak, to do the mitzvah, not the perfect way, the ideal way, but the fallback position of lighting it on the inside of his house in such a way that he can be mekayim both Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. Now, in the paragraph Vehine on page Mem, we're going to get into the Beis Medrash of Brisk, and we'll be becoming witnesses to a dialogue between Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik and his father, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, if I'm not mistaken, is the youngest son of the Brisker Rav, and he's still alive and well. He has even an older brother who's also still alive and well, the son of the Brisker Rav. That's Rabbi David Soloveitchik. Are you at all familiar with these yeshivas? They're, you know, today the Brisker yeshivas have spread out. There are a lot of Brisker yeshivas. One is Rabbi David, one is Rabbi Yoshua, and that's the son of Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik, the grandson of Rabbi Brisker Rav, and then there's Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik. You know, everybody has their own group of disciples. So Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik turns to his father, the Brisker Rav, and he says to him, I don't understand. Mashenagu Hahamon, we're on the third line in the paragraph of Hine, on the right side. Hahamon, meaning the man on the street, Lahadlik Ner Chanukah Mibifnim. They're lighting Neros Chanukah inside the house. Some people light it in the window, some people light it here and there, wherever they're lighting it, but it's inside the house. And it's not Shasa Sakana. And the Brisa says that you have to light the candle outside your house. How is it possible that this is going on? And you know, no one's putting up Pachka Villas, you know, that we should... Heshiv lo maron ha-griz, this is already at line 7 or 8, the Bir HaGemara, when the Gemara says that Mishasa Sakana v'yelech, that you're allowed to put the Ner Chanukah on Pesach Beso, what it means is that Bismana Sakana, and now you're four lines before the end of that paragraph, the end of the column, I should say, not the paragraph, and you really want to highlight these words, Tiknu. Do you see the word Tiknu? Mamish, this here for this you want to use yellow, red, orange, every color in the rainbow. Tiknu Takana Mechudesha Shel Ner Chanukah. Okay. That we've already suggested such a concept, but go beyond that. That this takana of a brand new category of Ner Chanukah, which is it has its own life to it, its own identity to it, and its own regulations, and you're lighting it inside the house. Lo al shasa sakana levad nitkan. The motivation, what engendered this takana, was the sakana. But they didn't establish it that when there is a sakana, for those periods of Jewish history, when there is a sakana, hadlaka mi bifnim, you could light bifnim. Ki im, but rather, We're up on the left column here. Do you see that? Says the Brisker Rav, the only way we could justify the minug of Hamone Am to light inside the house is if we assume that Mishas HaKona V'Elech, that was only the moment in time when the Chacham got up and made a Takona. But that Takona is forever and ever, so to speak. That now we have another option of lighting inside the house.
So this would disagree with the Ritva on the right spot.
Excellent. I was about to say that. Then if you all like the Ritva and the Rashba, you don't need this new Takana. Why? Because it's part of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Again, what you still want to justify according to the Ritva and the Rashba is why are people lighting inside? Again, what was the compelling reason? Was it after Tichlei Regel and Ashuk? Was it because he was so poor that he couldn't afford a Ner Shabbos? And that would trump Ner Chanukah? What would push us in that direction of lighting on the inside? Maybe weather conditions, you know, people are not out in the street because, you know, this time of the year in many countries it's freezing cold or it's raining, cats and dogs. What else? Maybe there are goyim out there.
Animals.
Maybe, what?
Animals.
There are any number of reasons that might compel you to light on the inside. Again, if you ask me, what should you do? I'm going to tell you, if I was representing the Rashba, the Ritva, that you should light on the outside. That's the ideal mitzvah. You want to light on the inside, tell me why. And if you can convince me that you should be lighting on the inside, all right, I'll let you do so. Even though there's no sakana. Comes along the Brisker Rav and he says, but what about the Rambam Shita? The Rambam Shita was, the original kvius was al Pischei Abatim. And that's the Brisa. And you remember we had a whole discussion in, was it Rabbeinu Yerucham yesterday?
Yeah.
The Rabbeinu Yerucham tried to justify, according to Rashi, a person who bought his on Rishus HaRabim, where is he going to light the candles? Rashi doesn't allow you to light the candles in Rishus HaRabim. So he has this whole thing called the Ovi HaPesach, right? That we discussed. You see that there are Rishonim that would simply do acrobatics in the air in order to get the Ner Chanukah Mipesach Beisomim Bachutz. In fact, the Gemara says that if he lights it inside and then he brings it outside, we hold Hadlakos the mitzvah, not Hadlakos the mitzvah. He's not yotze the mitzvah. He's got to put it out and rekindle it. So you see that in the view of many, many Rishonim, and they have good, you know, the good bones, the solid bones and room to stand on the Gemara, is that Beis Omi Bachutz is the critical definition of Ner Chanukah. Then you have to come up with this briskura. To justify the Hamonei Am, who are lighting on the inside, you're going to have to assume, A, there was a new takana of Ner Chanukah to replace the old takana. And number two, that takana begins with Shas HaSakana historically, but continues forevermore. Again, why would one advocate in favor of that kind of fallback b'dieved position? I think the answer's got to be that there's some compelling reason why he's lighting on the inside. If you take a look in this left paragraph, he has a sefer called the Aseres HaDibros, which was written by the Baal HaItur, and in Hilchas Chanukah he writes Toner Rabbanan Ner Mitzvah B'Shas Sakana Minichal Shulchan V'Dayo U'Me'achar SheNagu Al Asakana Nagu. Now this is one of the Rishonim, and this is fascinating. He says, "Me'achar SheNagu Al Asakana Nagu." So what does it mean? There's a super commentary of the Baal HaItur, which is called the Pesach HaDvir, and he writes that since they were knowing at the time of the Sakana, Af She'ein Sakana, even though there's no longer a Sakana, we call it Nagu. It became a fixed, canonized minhag as part of Klal Yisrael, Lanicho Al Shulchano. So this again would seem to reflect the Shita of the Brisker Rav, that there was a new Takana that started B'Shas Sakana, and that would replace the old requirement of Mipesach Beisu Bachutz, and you could put the candle on your table. And in the light of that new Takana, we have something called Afilu Shalom B'Shas Sakana, which in the language of the Baal HaItur, which would mean that Nagu Al Sakana V'Nagu. Once they were knowing it, then they could accept that minug and go on and on. So before the Shas HaKana, there was no possibility of lighting on the inside. But Mishas HaKana V'Elech Hidliku Mibifnim, and now there'll be Mekayim a Mitzvah, but it's a new Mitzvah. It's not the old Mitzvah. At the time of the old Mitzvah, before Shas HaKana, if you were to light inside, you would not be Mekayim the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah. But now, after the Shas HaKana, they made this new Takana, and now this takana is in force even today, and somebody who lights on the inside of his house, even though there's no sakana, fulfills the mitzvah. Again, it's not the same mitzvah that they fulfilled in Pesach Pesach Machutz. It's an inherently different mitzvah, but he's Mekayim that mitzvah. What I'd like to do now, again, I know I'm fast-forwarding by a lot, is to take a look at Pei Aleph. That's page Pei Aleph, Simon Lamed Dalet. It's called Yemei Simcha de Chanukah. We have it? Where is it? Here? This? Oh yeah, it's down on the bottom here. And the other pages maybe we'll get to a little later on, but we'll see what time allows.
Yeah, it was fancy today. The secretary helped.
The Rambam says that they established these days as days of Simcha V'Halel. And we don't know the source for the Rambam, because the Brice of my Chanukah on Chaf Aleph Amin Beis says, L'shon Acheres Kovim V'Asum Yomim Tovim B'Halel V'Hodah. No mention of Simcha. So the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, in his commentary on Bava Kama of all places, addresses the following question. Is there a status to a Seudas Chanukah? And he says the following. Nireh, it appears to me, says the Marshal, that Heim Seudas Mitzvah. And he's arguing with the Maram was a contemporary of the Yamshel Shlomo. In fact, if you take a look in a Gemara that has the Marsha in the back, is there any such Gemara here? There's a Gemara. Whatever Masechta it is, it doesn't bother me.
Well, this is an art
school. No, below the art school here. If you see that Talmud Bavli, I think it says Masechta Sukkah, maybe, whatever it is. You open up to the Marsha, and I think you'll see on the bottom of the Marsha something called the Maram. Yes?
No, who? I've seen it.
Probably. You've seen it. Who? If you take a look in the fly page, you know, the title page, they'll tell you who authored the Maram. I forgot his name. But I'm pretty sure he was many, many centuries ago. The Maram says that there's no such thing, there's no such halachic entity as a Seudas Mitzvah on Chanukah. I mean, again, you can make a Seudas Mitzvah if you have a bris, or if you have a Sheva Brachas, or if you have a Siyum, maybe it might be a Seudas Mitzvah, I don't know, but not because it's Chanukah. If you don't find it, maybe you turn to the Marsha, because, you found it?
Not yet.
Okay, maybe turn to the Marsha. He may have a list of the authors right before he starts with the Marsha.
We have the Chachma Shlomo.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the same as the Yamshel Shlomo, the Chachma Shlomo, same author. They tell you his last name? I don't know his last name. The Chachma Shlomo, what was his last name? Oh, so the Maram is the Maram Milublin. I thought they would tell you his name. Don't see it. Okay. Again, if you turn to my show, you might see it. Anyway, be it as it may, here's a machlokas between the Marshal and the Maram, the Maram Lublin, regarding the question of Seudas Chanukah. And in his presentation, the Yamshel Shlomo says that the halacha is kedivrei Rambam shehem yemei simcha v'halel. In other words, according to the Yamshel Shlomo, the Marshal, when you read the Rambam that these days are days of Simcha, what you'd understand is that just like on a Yontif you have a mitzvah of Simcha, so too on Chanukah you have a mitzvah of Simcha. And just like on Yontif, how you make the mitzvah of Simcha, you make a Seuda, so too on Chanukah you have a mitzvah of making a Seuda, because these are days of Simcha. Chanukah equals Simcha. What? Right, we know that you don't fast on Chanukah. We know that you don't make Hespedim on Chanukah. All this is because Chanukah is endowed with the status of Simcha. It's a Yontif. And the Marshal's language is the following. Uvitalmuda Mashma. He's going back to the Bryce of my Chanukah. The Niskanu Nami Lemishta Ula Simcha. Now, I didn't see the word Mishta. I didn't see the word Simcha. What does he mean that it's Mashma and that it's Simcha and Mishta? Midam Rina Beperek Bamelikin in the Bryce of my Chanukah says, Lashana Chers Kovavasam Yom Tov Bahalil Ubehoda. See, we miss the main, right? So he's saying that the word yontif should be understood as a statement unto itself. You put a comma after the word yontif, and then you have a halel and you have hodah. Midikav a yontif. It should have said kavu shmonas yomim lahalel ulodah. Why did it add yontif? Shmamina yontif nami kipshuto, and that means simcha u'mishta. It's unbelievable, Rabbosai. According to the Marshal, when we talk about the difference between Chanukah and Purim, and the primary answer to that question, which is very famous and attributed to the Levush, is that Purim has Simcha and Mishta, and that's written in the Megillah, but Chanukah is not a day of Mishta, it's not a day of Simcha. Chanukah is a day of Hallel, Hodah, Ner Chanukah, but not Simcha Mishta. The Af Rashi Pirish. It's unbelievable. The Marshal wants to stoop this into Rashi. Because Rashi says, on the words Yomim Tovim, Rashi says, Lo she'asrim b'malacha. So Rashi means that it really is a yontif, but it doesn't have isa malacha. In other words, Ein bein Chanukah le'yontif, ele isa malacha bilvad. You know, Rashi has a new Mishnah here called Ein Bein. Are you familiar with Ein Bein? You know, there's a whole chunk of Dapim in Masechta Megillah called the Ein Beins, right? So Rashi has a new Ein Bein according to the Marshal. His Ein Bein is that there's no difference between Chanukah and Purim, or Chanukah and Yontif, Ella, except for the mitzvah of, I'm sorry, the Iser of Malacha. That's what Rashi means to say. And don't call it a yontif as far as Malacha is concerned. What are we left with?
Simcha.
Simcha. That we will call it a yontif. So Chanukah is a yontif. This is the Marshal.
Except the Rashi says, Elalah,
Elalah. Oh, wow. Excellent. Very good. Somehow the Marshal He stopped prematurely. He, whenever it was convenient for him, that's when he stopped reading Rashi. He didn't read the end of Rashi. Rashi says that why is it called a yontif? Rashi didn't leave that as an unanswered question. Rashi didn't just write, well, it's not a yontif as far as Isa Malacha, so the Marshal would say, but it is a yontif as far as Simcha Mishta is concerned. Name. Rashi said it's not a yontif, but it is a yontif as far as Halvo does concern.
And Shlomo Luria.
Oh, Luria, of course. And does he tell you the Maram Lublin, what his last name was? Reb Meir. Okay, maybe they didn't know his last name. Alright, his first name was Reb Meir. Yeah. Okay, Rabbosai, so now we have the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion that Chanukah is a yontif. And what word does the Rambam substitute for yontif? Simcha. And the Rambam has simcha, and the Rambam Shel Shoma says that Rashi is also assuming that Chanukah is a yontif, just the exclusion of Isur Malacha, but it is a yontif as far as Simcha u'mishta is concerned. And again, we said that doesn't seem to be indicated by the language of Rashi. Now, Rabbosai, is there really a mitzvah of Seuda on Chanukah? The Rambam calls it Days of Simcha. And the Marshal says, this is yontif. So let's just try to understand how Simcha operates. you've heard from me 1,001 times that there's always a difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah. And a classical example of that would be Simchas Yontif. The Maisa Mitzvah is Achilas Basar and Shasias Yayin, but that's not the Mitzvah itself. If a person eats meat until it's coming out of his ears and drinks wine until he's drunk, that's not the Mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha is the Kiyuma Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah might be Achilas Basar because it's a means to bring you to Simcha, but ultimately the goal and the Kiyuma of the Mitzvah is Simcha. And this we see clearly in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Yontif, Perek Vav, has the following problem. On the one hand, the Torah says, on Yontif, v'samachta v'chagecha, and we would like to say that we're going to eat meat and drink wine on Yontif and be mekayim that mitzvah d'oraisa v'samachta v'chagecha. But we have a problem. Because the Gemara says that simcha is karban shlomim. So back in the day when the Mikdash stood, they had a special obligation on Yontif to bring Shalmei Simcha. And we eat the meat of Shalmei Simcha, and that's the key of V'samachta B'chagecha. But today we don't have the Mikdash, we don't have Shalmei Simcha, and we don't have the mitzvah of Simcha. That's the Rambam's problem. So on the one hand, the Rambam wants to maintain that Simcha on Yontif Bizman Hazeh, no less than Bizman HaMikdash, is Doraisa. And on the other hand, the Rambam knows very well that Ein Simcha El B'Karban Shlamin. How to reconcile those two? So here's where the Rambam operates with Maisa Mitzvah and Kiyuma Mitzvah. Meaning that the Maisa Mitzvah is not, usually, again, let me start by introducing 99% of the cases, the Maisa Mitzvah is the Kiyuma Mitzvah. There's no difference between the two. But in 1%, a very small percent of the mitzvahs, the Maisa Mitzvah is only a means to get into a state of Kiyuma Mitzvah. So for example, a person, Rabbanu Litzan, lost one of his relatives, he can abstain from all Yud-Alef Yisuri Avel, that doesn't mean he fulfilled the mitzvah of Avelus. Avelus is a Kiyuma Mitzvah Belev. And Simcha likewise, if you take a look at the Rambam, even when they ate the Shlomim, back in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that was only a means to an end. So therefore the Rambam writes, Shiva Simei HaPesach, Ushmona Simei HaChag. It's interesting, the Rambam is explicit in including Chol HaMoed in this mitzvah of Simcha. Im Shar Yomim Tovim, which would refer to Shavuos, is Kulam Asur Behesmi V'tayinis, V'chayav Adam, you might want to underline this, Chayav Adam Lios Bahem Samech V'tov Lev. In other words, any action that you do, if it's geared towards the goal of bringing you to the state of Lios, Sameach v'tov lev, that's a Maisa Mitzvah, because the Kiyuma Mitzvah is going to be achieved through that Maisa Mitzvah. So it's not enough to eat meat and drink wine, but the real obligation is to become Sameach v'tov lev. And he quotes here the Brisker Rav. According to the Brisker Rav, every single moment of Yontif, you know, 24 hours, has got to be dedicated to Simcha. Each second of time is a moment of Simcha. There's no one moment of time when I eat the meat or I drink the wine, that's Simcha. But really the entire day should be encompassed with Simcha. And in the language of the Brisker Rav, Chiyuva shall call Shosh Vishah, so again, if the mitzvah of Simcha would be the Maisa Mitzvah, okay, I'm eating meat at let's say 12 noon, I'm drinking wine at 1:30 in the afternoon, that's the moment of Simcha. But no, the Rambam says that this act of eating and drinking is only to bring you into a state of Simcha, but that state of Simcha is to be achieved during the entire Yontif, the whole 24 hours of Yontif. He calls it a chova tadira. It's an ongoing chiyuv. Again, I'm not going to ask you to eat meat 24 hours of yontif. But what I will ask you to do is to try as best as you can to be in the state of sameach v'tov lev for all the moments of all the 24 hours of yontif. This is where the Rambam, if you know, introduces his famous principle called simcha haru'yolo, which means the subjective simcha. So for women, he says, you have to buy them colored clothing and jewels and jewelry. And for the ketanim, you have to give them egozim and kloyos, you know, different kinds of sweets and cereals and raisins and whatever. And for men, of course, for us guys, it's meat and wine. You know, that's what we need. You know, we're carnivorous. You know, we need to eat meat. But this whole concept of simcha ru'uyalo, that it depends where you are in the spectrum, is all because the maisa is only a means to an end. And what brings you to simcha is not what brings me to simcha. So you have to have it tailor-made, and it's subjective, what maisa will bring you to be in the state of Leo's sameach v'tov lev. Now, we can ask a very radical question. Is it possible that there's a mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos? Now, if you have the nusach of the Sfarad of the Hasidim, then you'll notice that in every Shmon Esrei on Shabbos, they add a paragraph of what? Whatever it says over there. We, the Litvakas, you know, have Nusach Ashkenaz, and then the Yekis, we'll only add it on Musaf. That has to be understood, why we have that paragraph on Musaf. But let's assume we don't recognize that. How do we justify the Nusach Sfarad? Again, when I say Nusach Sfarad, I don't mean Eidot HaMizrach. I mean, where is Simchan Shabbos? Ah. The answer could be that we don't find anywhere where you have to eat meat and drink wine on Shabbos, but simcha means a state of being. So what's the source for simcha on Shabbos? It's a Sifri in Parshas Baloscha. On the Pasuk Ubiyom Simchaschem, do you remember that Pasuk? I always tell you it's 10:10, because I'm coming from New York, and when traffic in New York, you have to turn on to a certain station, 10:10 wins. Right. So we give you you give us 22 minutes, we give you the world. So that's how I remember that. It says, B'yom Simchaschem, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's called, where, how do you say, Bamidbar? Numbers, right? Numbers. The book of Numbers, 10:10, chapter 10, verse 10. And the Sifri on that pasuk says, B'yom Simchaschem, Elu Shabbosos. Mind-boggling. I would say Eli Yomim Tovim. No, he says, because the next word in the pasuk is Moadechem. So what's Simchaschem? And if you take a look on page Peites, he says, no, I'm sorry. See, they stapled my pages. That the Beis Yosef in Orach Chaim says, in the name of Rav Cohen Tzedek, I don't know who Rav Cohen Tzedek is, that those who inject Yismuchu Malchuscha into the Shmon Esrei of Shabbos are relying on this Sifri that says B'yom Simchaschem Elu Shabbosos. The Yishlom Shal Zes Samchulam V'Yismuchu V'cha Kol Yisrael Mekadshei Shemecha. So there's a Nusach that has Simcha on Shabbos. This, by the way, is a problem for me, because in Avelus Rachman al Islam, there's a fundamental difference in Yontif and Shabbos. Yontif is Mavatal Shiva, whereas Shabbos is Olul Minyan Shiva. The Sfaradim have Nichum Avelim on Shabbos, by the way. We don't have it. We do it before, you know, Kabbalah Shabbos. But so, if you're going to tell me that Shabbos is also a day of Simcha, then just as Yontif is Mavatal Shiva, so too Shabbos is a day of Simcha, Shiva Mavatal Shiva. So that's my own problem here in a footnote. Okay. But he says the following, that the Bahag, who codifies the 613 mitzvahs, writes that mitzvahs simcha b'shabbos, that there's a mitzvah to be in simcha b'shabbos. So let's ask the obvious question, do we ever find a din of shalmei simcha, which is the original paradigm of simcha, on Shabbos? It says, v'samachta b'shabbos, Chagecha doesn't mean Shabbos. We find any other kind of Simcha on Shabbos, like a requirement to eat meat and drink wine. The answer is that on Shabbos there is a mitzvah, but it's just not the same as Yontif. The goal of the mitzvah, the Kiyumah mitzvah on Shabbos, is Shiehei Sameach V'Tuv Lev. and all of 24 hours of Shabbos, you should be in that state of Sameach v'Tuv Lev. On Yontif, the halacha requires eating meat and drinking wine as the means to achieve that kiyum of Leo Sameach v'Tuv Lev. For whatever reason, on Shabbos, we don't have that formal requirement of achila, of basar, and shati, of yayin. But Shabbos itself is a day of simcha, and that we learn from the pasuk b'yom simchas chaneilu shabbosos. And the entire day of Shabbos, you have to be in the state of simcha. And the Bahag again counts simchas Shabbos as one of the mitzvahs, because yichayv liol sameach v'tuv lev. Oh, so how is there a difference between v'samachta b'chagecha and b'yom simchaschem, which is Shabbos? The answer is on Yontif, where it says v'samachta b'chagecha, which is a reference to shalmei simcha. Therefore, you have to eat a kezayis basar and drink yayin. That'll bring you to the state of simcha. On Shabbos, it doesn't say v'samachta. Is therefore there's no reference here to Shalmei Simcha. We don't know of Shalmei Simcha on Shabbos. And there's no reference therefore to Achilas Kezayis Basar and Shasias Yayin. And therefore, you just have to be in a state of Sameach v'Tov Lev for the entire Shabbos. Okay, now let's swing back to Chanukah. He says, Nireh. The Masha Kosev Aram of Shetiknu Chachomim Shimei Chanukah Yimei Simcha. Hainu, that there's an obligation of Leo Sameach v'Tov Lev. Those are the key words of this essay. In other words, during the course of Chanukah, we have to be in the state of Sameach v'Tov Lev. There's no room for depression on Chanukah. And that's what the Rambam holds, is what the Bryce had in mind when it says, Asan Yomim Tovim. What does it mean, Yomim Tovim? That you have to be Sameach v'Tov Lev for all of Chanukah. And that's why the Rambam calls these days Yemei Simcha. But however, it doesn't have the mitzvah, Chanukah doesn't have the mitzvah of Esamachta Bechagecha like a Yontif Mamish, because every Yontif requires you to eat a Kezayis Basar and drink a Revius of Yayin, is Lahavi Lidei Simcha Salev, that these mice and these Pe'ulos were required and were legislated as mandated in order to achieve the goal of Simchas Halev. But in Chanukah, he doesn't have a chiyuv to eat a kezayis basar, to drink a certain amount of yayin. Those are typical of Yontif, not of Chanukah. Chanukah as a Yontif means that he has to be in a state of Sameach v'Tov Lev. So again, if I were to ask you, on Yontif, do I have to eat meat to bring myself to the state of Simcha? What's the answer? Yeah. Yes. On Chanukah, am I required to eat meat in order to bring myself to the state of Simcha? Yeah. The answer is no. Do both Chanukah and Yontif have the status of a Yontif as far as Simcha? The answer is yes. It's called Ochel V'Shoser. Now we can explain the Marshal. The Marshal was of the opinion that if you eat a Suda on Chanukah, then it's called a Sudas Mitzvah. Why is it a Sudas Mitzvah? Because of the Kiyum of Simcha. Meaning that the Achilas Basar, which is not required, brings you to the state of Simcha. Whatever brings you to the state of Simcha is the Mitzvah of Simchas Yontif of Chanukah, the Yontif of Chanukah. Is Kevon Shebachilosu Shtiyosu Mevi'ol also Lidei Simcha, is Yeshal of Chiv Liyos Sameach V'Tov Lev B'Chanukah. So it's very interesting. It comes out that on Yontif, Basar and Yayin are obligatory. And on Chanukah, Basar and Yayin are optional. Both Yontif and Chanukah as a Yontif have a Chiv Simcha. That's why the Rambam defines Chanukah as Yimei Simcha. And therefore, if anyone sets up a Suda on Chanukah, becomes a Sudas Mitzvah, although it's optional, because it brings you to the state of being Sameach v'Tov Lev. That's the Shitas HaRambam and the Marshal. I'm not going to tell you Halacha L'maisa that this is so, because I don't think in the Mishnah Berurah you'll find such a thing. Although, there is something in the Ramah. Wait a minute, the Ramah says about Zmiros v'Tishbachos, am I right? Let's just read the Ramah again. This is the first Ramo, I think, in Hilchas Chanukah. Let's see if I'm right. Tofresh Ayin. The Mechaber says, Ribui Hasudos, if you add Sudos on Chanukah and Sudas Rishus, in other words, there's no din of Simcha Mishteh according to the Mechaber. He's totally oblivious to the Rambam. And the Rambam says, and this is the first comment to the Rambam of Chanukah, he says, Yesh Omer Sheyesh Ktsas Mitzvah Beribui Suda. You know, we have this phrase that it's either she's pregnant or she's not pregnant. What's Ktsas Mitzvah? What does that mean, Ktsas Mitzvah? So he says, Mishum Debiosam Ayomim Hoya Chanukah Samizbeah. And it's not really the mitzvah of Pirsumei Nisa here. We're talking about Chanukah as the days of Chanukah Samizbeah. Then he writes, Venogim Lomar Zmiros Vesishbachos. Can we convert this into a Sudas Chanukah? And the answer is, we sing the songs and we recite the lyrics of Shevach Odoya, Besuda Shemar B'mehem during the course of the meal. It's us having Sudas Mitzvah. So basically, it's the Zmiros V'Tishbachos, according to the Ramah, that converts the Suda into a Sudas Mitzvah. What we're suggesting now, based on the Marshal, and before the Marshal, based on the Rambam, that there might be a Kiyum Sudas Mitzvah on Chanukah. Now, we mentioned the other day, I think it was yesterday, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Let's go on with this Rabbeinu Yerucham. He says the following. This is Simon Lamed Hey. You have it? V'kavum l'doros lios yamim tovim likros bahem ha-halil Lahazkir dinam. Please underline or highlight those two words. Lahazkir dinam. So the Rambam has, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yerucham has Yomim Tovim. He has Halil. In the next line, he has Hodah, which means Halanisim. He's got it all. But he adds something that was never in another variable into the equation that we're not familiar with. That's Lahazkir dinam. What does it mean, Lahazkir dinam? Is there some sort of halacha on Chanukah that we should go through the dinim of Chanukah? I mean, it could be a good idea, but is there some sort of requirement? He says that the Aneiros Halolo also is a kiyum of this Rabbeinu Yerucham, because what do we say in Aneiros Halolo? Ein lanu reshus l'shtamish b'hem. That's a din. We're learning dinim. Or, for example, at the end of Al Nisim, it says, V'kavum, what does it say? What's the language? At the end of Al Nisim? Does it say, Lahodos al Halil there? Oh, Lahodos al Halil. That's also a din. So you see that we are learning dinim. But why? What's the relationship between learning dinim and Chanukah? I mean, Chanukah are days of Halav Hodah. Chanukah are days of Yontiv. Why are we learning the Dinim according to Rabbeinu Yerucham? So for this, you want to fast forward to page Pei Gimel, and you want to see a sugya in Megillah Daf Dalet. Now, what happens when Shabbos coincides with Purim? Do we read the Megillah? No. Why don't we read the Megillah, everyone? Gzeir the Rabbah. Fine. But the Gemara says that there is a substitute for Megillah reading on Shabbos of Chanukah. And that is Korin Sholim V'Darshim Behilchas Purim. So on Shabbos of Chanukah, Sholim V'Darshim Behilchas Purim. We can't read the Megillah. Says the Rashba, Kevin Shein Korin Bo Bayom Es HaMegillah V'Leka Persume Nisa Bo Bayom. So that day is the 14th of Adar, but it's Shabbos, so there's no Persum HaNes because we're not reading the Megillah. Mishum Hachi Matzrich, Matzrich means he requires, Lidrosh Bo Bayom V'Hilchosav, and here's the punchline of the Rashba, Kidei Lefarsem Niso Bipeh B'yomo. In other words, the basic mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes is not removed by Gzeirah D'Rabbah from Shabbos of Purim. So if the 14th of Adar coincides with Shabbos, we still have an obligation to be mefarsim the Nes. And how do we fulfill that obligation to be mefarsim the Nes if we cannot read the Megillah? The answer is learning the Dinim. Sholim v'darshim v'hilchas Purim. So he says the following. That on Purim shechalios v'shabbat tzorch lidrosh v'hilchas ha-Purim ein zekidei leidas halachos. You know, very often we learn the halachos of the Chag because we want to know how to implement them. Right? It's very relevant. No. Ki'im, what's the purpose of learning the halachos on Purim? Lahazkir ulefarse manes. This is also part of Pirsum HaNes. And therefore, he swings back to Rabbeinu Yerucham, and Rabbeinu Yerucham says that on Hanukkah we should be learning the Dinim. What's that all about? And the answer is, based on this Rashba, that through learning the Dinim, we achieve Pirsum HaNes. Because when you're learning the Dinim, you ask yourself, why are these Dinim established by the Chacham on these days? And the answer is, because of the Nes. The last paragraph, he has a discussion about whether this Chiyuv is on the Tzibur, as the Chovas Tzibur, it's on the Yachid. Okay, I think we can leave that out. Now what I'd like you to do is fast forward to page Pei He. Now, page Pei He begins a very long section in this Sefer called Gvuras Yitzchak, and it goes on and on and on. We have from Pei He till Pei Ches, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
But it goes way beyond that. And this is the question of Hallel on Chanukah. So let me give a little bit of introduction. You and I know that the mitzvah of Hallel is only Durabana. Or is it? There's a Gemara in Pesachim that seems to derive Hallel from a Pasuk. Admittedly, the Gemara is focused on Hallel B'Leil HaPesach, but that should be the breakthrough and the source for all of Hallel. And it's based on the Pasuk, Hashir Lachshem B'Leil Hiskadish Chag. So the Rambam writes in Hilchas Chanukah that Hallel is midivrei sofrim. Let's read the Rambam inside. He says, "V'lo Hallel shel Chanukah b'levado midivrei sofrim el kriyas haHallel li'olam midivrei sofrim b'chol hayomim agorim b'lehemes haHallel." So in Masechta Erechin on Daf Yud, there's a brayse that lists 18 days shegomer b'lehemes haHallel. The Rambam says what's common to all these 18 days is that they're all a mitzvah midivrei sofrim. The Ravid comments on this, and he says, "Yesh b'hem esei midivrei kabbalah." In other words, if I find you a pasuk in Tanakh, it's not Chumash, so it's not a Doraisa, but if the pasuk in Tanakh dictates or mandates a recitation of Hallel, that upgrades Hallel from the state from the classification as Midivrei Sofrim to Divrei Kabbalah. Now, just to give you an idea how much power or severity is given to something that's midivrei kabbalah as opposed to midivrei sofrim, to understand why the rabbi is so upset here, I'll give you a few examples. The Shagas Aryeh, for example, is famous for saying that in a city like Tveria, where they read the Megillah on both Yudalin and Tesvav because of Sufik, and they don't apply the principle of Sufik to Rabbanu Lekula, is because Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim is midivrei sofrim. I'm sorry, scratch that. Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim is midivrei kabbalah. And divrei kabbalah have a different status, and the principle of Sofik Rabbanu Lekula does not apply to divrei kabbalah. I'll give you another example. The question is whether an onen, I'll explain, on Purim is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Because normally an onen, which means a person who lost one of his close relatives and is before the burial, is not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat meat. But now it's Purim. So I would have said that Anina certainly should trump Purim, even though Purim is a mitzvah of Simcha and Seuda and Achilles Bos and Shishayin. Forget about it. He's an Onin. He's not allowed it. So the Mechaber Paskins, no. He's not an Onin. He's going to eat meat. He's going to drink wine because of Purim. Says the Mechaber, why? Because Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah, Domi. That since mi Divrei Kabbalah, we have a mitzvah of Simcha and Mishnah and Purim, it's right there in one book in the Tanakh, namely Megillas Esther. Therefore, it's upgraded to the status of what? Of Divrei Kabbalah. And on Divrei Kabbalah, we're going to say that the Derabbanan of Avelus, or maybe because Avelus is only on the Yochid, is going to be trumped by Divrei Kabbalah. So now the question is, where do we put Hallel? The Rambam goes out of his way to tell you that Hallel on Chanukah and on all Yom Tovim is only Midivrei Sofer. The Ravid says it's Midivrei Kabbalah. Why is it Midivrei Kabbalah? Because the Pasuk says Hashir Yelachem Kelel is Kaddish Chag, which is a reference to the night of Pesach. So the Magid Mishnah quotes the Gemara in Arvei Pesachim. The Gemara says that Nevi'im tiknu Hallel al kol tzara shenig'olim mimeno. That the Nevi'im established Kriyas HaHallel whenever there's a Shas Mashber, whenever there's an impending Chashon Doom, and God spared us and saved us, then we recite Hallel. And then, Avol, the Magid Mishnah says, "Aval yomru biyomim kvuim mi divrayim hu." Biyomim kvuim kama mi divrayim hu. So the Magid Mishnah makes a fundamental distinction, and this is going to salvage or save the Rambam from the clutches and the slings and arrows of the Ravid. The Rambam is going to say that there is such a thing as Nevi'im. Nevi'im has the status of Divrei Kabbalah. It's a higher status. But that's only Al Kol Tzara Shenig'olim Imena. But there are 18 days which are set, and there's a Chiyuv Hallel on these 18 days. And with regard to those 18 days, that's what the Rambam says is Midivrei Sofrim. All 18 days of Midivrei Sofer. If there's a tragedy, an impending doom, then if we're spared, that's called Midivrei Kabbalah. That's a Takonas HaNevi'im, I'll call Tzara Shenig Olam Mimena. But not so in the classical case of Hallel, Yomim, right, Shmonasra Yomim Shekovim, Kvuim Shegomim Emesa Hallel, that's a whole different deal. That's Midirei Sofer. So again, I'll call Tzora Shetov Yisrael is Midirei Kabbalah, but the classical reading of Hallel on any Yontif or on Chanukah is Midirei Sofer. It's not Midirei Kabbalah.
How do you separate the two?
Because again, the Gemara quotes the Nevi'im establishing Hallel on Al Kol Tzara Shenig'olim Mimenu.
So it's not Chanukah?
Oh, okay. Good, good, good. That's what this article is all about. But before you get to that, the Magid Mishnah wants to say that the Al Kol Tzara Shenig'olim Mimenu is a separate wing of Hallel. It's actually on a more intense and severe level of Hallel, more stringent, than the Yud Aleph Yomim that are codified in the Braisa and Masechta Erechin on Daf Yud. Those Yud... Did I say Yud Aleph? I meant to say Yud Ches. Okay. From both sides, I'm working on less than full cylinders here, so bear with me. Baruch Hashem, my daughter gave birth, so I'm really spending a lot of time helping out, and we're having a Kiddush this Shabbos and Mitzvah Hashem. We're also hosting the whole family. So bear with me. So if I said Yud Aleph, I meant Yud Ches. Okay then, is that okay? All right. You'll be my chum. So again, there's like a codification of 18 days in the Braisa of Masechta Erechin. The Yud Ches Yomim Shegomim B'mehem Esachal. That's not to be identified, says the Magid Mishnah, with the Gemara Pesachim about Takonas HaNevi'im Al Kol Tzara Shenig'olim Imena. The Al Kol Tzara Shenig'olim Imena goes beyond the Mitzvah of Hallel. The Mitzvah of Hallel is 18 days, and that's it. That's Kavua, that's in the calendar we can, you know, produce a calendar every year and have 18 days of challah. The chutzlar is 21, right? And then you have another issue. You have a community that was spared from a chas v'shalom, a catastrophe. Then they have to say challah. That's already a takonis neviim. That's upgraded to the status of what? Divrei Kabbalah. So the Ravid has no, is not justified in attacking the Rama, because the 8 days of Chanukah listed in the Brice of Yud Ches Yomim, Shegomer Memesal, that's already a different, that's Kriyas Ahalil. That has nothing to do with the Takonis HaNeviim. I mean, Abby's asking an excellent question. Why shouldn't we apply the principle of Takonis HaNeviim to Chanukah? Okay, so maybe because Chanukah is Shmad, and it's not Larry Glash. I don't know, you have to, you know, wait till he gets to that in this, in this article. Lenny, you want to say something?
Does he get to why he doesn't say hello on Purim? There's also cases.
So Purim is going to come under a different halacha, which is called Kriyas Zui Hilula, which means that the Kriyas HaMegillah is going to replace. He has a whole article on that, but not in this book, in a different book about Purim. Now, if you take a look on the left column, let's read the Gemara in Pesachim. It's on Daf Kuf Yud Zayin in the last parak in Pesachim. It says, "Hal zemi omro neviim shebeneim tiknu em li Yisrael shiu omer mosal kol perak perak al kol tzarat tzara shelo tava." Now, wait a second. Do you see a bunch of extra words over here? I'm going to read it again. And I'm going to omit a bunch of words, and you'll see that nothing is lost. Neviim shebeneim tiknu em liyisrael shiu omer moso al kol tzara v'tzara shelo tava aleim kishinig olim. What did I skip? Al kol perku perk. Says the Rashbam, that's a super commentary on Arvei Pesachim. We don't have Rashi on Arvei Pesachim. Al kol perku perk hainu regolim. And we're going back to the Takonis HaNeviim. So it means the Takonis HaNeviim is not just al kol tzara, you know, a certain specific moment in time, a place on the globe, but all the Kriyas HaHalel of the Mo'adim, which is called Al-Perek Perek, that also is established by the Nevi'im. So then who's right now in the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid? It would seem that the Ravid is right. You're not with me. Yeah. The Ravid says that it's Midivrei Kabbalah. How can the Rambam say that Halal is Midivrei Sofrim? So you'll tell me that the Rambam holds that since the Yud Ches Yomim are Kvuim, that's not included in the Takonis HaNeviim. But the answer is, says the Rashbam, it is included in the Takonis HaNeviim. Because the Braisa says the Neviim were Masaki, not just Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara, but Al Kol Perek U'Perek. Perek U'Perek means the Yomim Kvuim, Chanukah, and all the Yomim Tovim. Is the Fizet Tzarech in Divrei HaMagid Mishnah? How can the Magid Mishnah postulate a fundamental distinction between Al Kol Tzar V'Tzar, that's me Divrei Kabbalah, that's me Takonis HaNeviim, as opposed to Yom HaKvuim, it goes down to a level of me Divrei Sofrim? What's the difference? If the Neviim made this Takona, even in the case of Al Kol Perek U'Perek, meaning the Yud Ches Yom HaKvuim, then it gets upgraded to the status of Midivrei Kabbalah. How can the Magen Mishnah possibly know? The Yud Ches Yom HaKvuim is only Midivrei Sofrim. And Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara is Midivrei Kabbalah. Mitzad Takonis HaNeviim. That's not true. The Gemara says that the Neviim stood up and they made a Takon of Halil, not just on Kol Tzara V'Tzara, but also on Kol Perek U'Perek. Kol Perek U'Perek means the 18 days that are kavua for Halil. Now we get to Abby's point from before, which I think also, Lenny, you were touching on this point, that Rashi, again, it's not really Rashi, but we'll call it Rashi, and the Rashbam in Pesachim, there in Arvei Pesachim, on the words Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara, Kigon Chanukah. Guess what? Rashi and the Rashbam are pinpointing Chanukah as your paradigm of the Takonis HaNeviim Al Kol Tzara V'Tzara. And then the Rambam's going to turn around and say, well, it's only Midivrei Sofrim. What are you talking about? It's Midivrei Kabbalah. And it's the Magid Mishnah who really puts his foot in his mouth, because he's the one who sent us to the Gemara in Pesachim in order to justify the Rambam. Again, the Rambam doesn't have to interpret the Gemara the way Rashi and the Rashbam interprets the Gemara, but it's very odd that the Magid Mishnah would send us to that sugya in order to defend the Rambam, when that sugya might very well be talking about Chanukah. And the Rambam says the Chanukah's halal on Chanukah's only be divrei sofrim. Okay. Now he quotes the Brisker Rav. Now, as soon as you hear the Brisker Rav, what's the most popular kind of methodology in Brisk? Exactly, Tzvei Dinim. There can be Tzvei Dinim and Halel, two categories of Halel. Why? Because the Ran in Arvei Psachim, and this is all codified in Chidushei Moran Agriz HaLevi Hilchas Chanukah, tells us, in the name of Rav Haigoin, that we don't make a brach on Halel, on Leil Pesach, Ligmar Es HaHalel. Now he's referring to the Halel that's embedded into our Haggadah, for the Leil HaSeder. There's another Halel, again, that depends on different minhagim, that's recited in the Beis HaKnesses. That has something to do with the concept of Pirsum HaNes, of the Tzibur getting together to recite Hallel on behalf of the entire Tzibur. But as far as the Hallel without a bracha, that's the Hallel of the Seder itself. Why no bracha? Now here, Abosai, you're going to find something very paradoxical. If I were to tell you that there's no bracha on a certain Maisa, is that downgrading it or upgrading it?
Downgrading it.
Here, oddly enough, this is a paradox, by omitting the bracha, we're going to upgrade the Halil of Leil HaPesach to the level of Midivrei HaNeviim, or call it Divrei Kabbalah. And dafka, because of that high-powered level, we're going to omit the bracha. How is that so? Says Rav Haigoin, She'enanu, this you want to highlight, She'enanu korim oso b'toras korim ela b'toras omer shira. Wow. There's something called kriya, and there's something called shira. Kriya is midivrei sofrim, and it requires a bracha. Shira is almost minatorah. It falls a little bit shy of being minatorah. It's midivrei kabbalah. And it was established as a set chiyuv of shira on Leil HaPesach by the Nevi'im. And therefore it has the status of midivrei kabbalah. Hare, this is already the Brisker Rav talking, the halel trei dinei isnehu behu. You know, you could probably do a word search through all the Brisker's forum of Trei Dine, and you'll find it coming up on every other page. But there's only one page where it says Halel before Trei Dine. There are two dinim of Halel. Yesh din Halel b'toras shira. And that's the Halel of Leil Pesach. V'yesh din Halel b'toras kriya. And that's midivrei sofrim. Now, oddly enough, there's no bracha on Halel b'Torah Shira, even though we've upgraded Halel b'Torah Shira to the level of Midivrei Sofrim, of Midivrei Kabbalah. I was just testing you to see if you're awake. And therefore, he says, Lefize Yeshlomar da'akra da'ashir hazelachem. And that's Kalel Es Kaddish Chag, referring to Leil HaPesach, is called a Shir. And what we're talking about is Halel Shel Shira. And that's the Halel of Leil Pesach. That is not a Halel of Kriya. And it's upgraded to the level of Midirei Kabbalah. Just 1 second. Arama Mairi Midimitz. Oh. So when the Rambam says that Shmona Simei HaChanukah together with all the Mo'adim Halel is only Midivrei Sofrim, he's referring to Kriya. And Kriya is Midivrei Sofrim. There is another kind of Halel which could be upgraded to the level of a Divrei Kabbalah, and that's called Shira. And that's, as far as we know, applicable in a unique way on the Leil, on Leil HaPesach.
Any time else?
Anytime else. There's a lot of going on up here. You can see that this essay is a very long essay. But just to give you a little highlight of it, he's going to claim that when a person himself personally experiences a miracle, that's called Shira. So, for example, if you go back to the Gemara Psachim that says, I'll call Tsarevit Tsar Lishinigalim Imenu, that's not Kriya. That's Shira. Why? Because I am part of that. Of that experience of Nigalim Imenu, and I'm obligated in Shira. However, Chanukah, although on the one hand, you know, it's a certain intense experience of Geula, but it's not my experience of Geula. It could very well be possible that at the time of the miracle and the Yeshua from the Yevanim, they might have recited Halel as Shira, which we've upgraded to the state of Divrei Kabbalah. But when the Rambam writes that Shmona Simei HaChanukah is Divrei Sofrim, he's referring to the Takana for all generations, which is a Takana of Chiyuv Kriya mi Divrei Sofrim. That's not Shira. Now, why is there no bracha on Shira? You could give some technical reasons, because Shira is not kavua, it's not set. You know, anybody who experiences a personal redemption is reciting the Shira. Or you could give a more lofdisha answer, that the kiyum of Shira is a kiyum shebalev. It's totally an emotional response, almost spontaneous, to experiencing a miracle, a miraculous redemption. And a kiyum shebalev doesn't get a bracha. There are many examples of mitzvahs where the whole mitzvah is focused on the lev, and there's no brach. In fact, the Maral Niprag claims that, believe it or not, the mitzvah Sipur Yetzis Mitzrayim is a mitzvah shebalev. That chayev adam liros es atzmo, and therefore there's no brach on the mitzvah. There's never a brach asher kishon mitzvot s'vonu l'saper b'yetzis Mitzrayim. The Maral Niprag. So if that be the case, we can understand the Magen Mishnah's defense of the Rambam against the rival. When the Rambam writes that Shmona Simei HaChanukah and the Halal of all Yomim Tovim is Midivrei Sofim, he's referring to the mitzvah of Kriyas HaHalal. And there are 18 days in which the Chachamim legislated Kriyas HaHalal as an entity. That's Midivrei Sofim. The Ravid is quoting the pasuk of Leil Kileil Eskadish Chag, Shir Lachem Kileil Eskadish Chag from Leil HaPesach. Enoch Hinami, that's me Divrei Kabbalah, but that's Shira. That's not Kriya. All right. Now, did you receive, or maybe we have it here on the table, these pages, which start on Kuf Mem Ches, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah? If you didn't receive them, I think I have them.
Yes, that's it. Well,
yeah. So what I'd like to do is we'll put this away for the time being, and we'll take, you know, the last 20 minutes of today's shiur in Mitzvah Hashem to a different section in the same sefer, which is called Gvuras Yitzchak, that's dedicated to understanding some of the more, shall we call it, the hashkafic elements of Chanukah, and he specifically focuses on the nusach of the liturgy. Okay, then, and what we're focused on right now is the Alan Nisan. And I think you should have three pages, am I right? Kuf Mem Ches, Kuf Mem Tes, and Kuf Nun. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to change the order a little bit, if that's okay with you. And I'd like to begin on Kuf Mem Tes. So if you want to spread yourself out a little bit, you put Kuf Mem Ches on your right side, and in front of you, you'll have Kuf Mem Tes going on to Kuf Nun. He calls it Os Chaf Hei. V'achakach bo banecha l'dvir beisecha. Let's emphasize a few things here. Number one, acharkach. What's the meaning of acharkach? Number two, banecha. Why the emphasis here on banecha? And number three, l'dvir beisecha. So if you take a look, just if your eye can move up a little bit on this page to the end of Chav Dalid, on the right side, he says, Chavivin Yisrael shenikraim banim. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's based on what's called Nesinas HaTorah. That Hashem gave us, the Jewish people, the Torah, and in that sense singled us out as the special nation, and that gives us the status of banim. So no other nation on the face of the earth is called banim because they did not accept the Torah. We accepted the Torah, and therefore we're called banim. So in the light of that, in the background of that, we'll begin to see that the Al Nisim connects the entire episode on the miracle and the redemption of Hanukkah with banecha, with Torah. Torah banecha is a kind of a code word for Torah, because Chavim and Yisrael Nikraim Banim, because the Torah was given to us. He quotes the Bach. The Bach says that all the Gzeros of the Avonim against the Beis HaMikdash, where's the Mida Keneged Mida? Meaning, what were we guilty of, so to speak? You know, you can tell by the calamity what the guilt and the sin is all about. So the attack of the Yavanim was against the Beis HaMikdash, and they were metame everything in the Beis HaMikdash, and especially the Shmonim. What was our sin that precipitated this harsh gzera of the Yavanim, specifically against the Mikdash? Says the Bach, Hisrashlu ba'avoda. If you have a highlight, you want to highlight those two words. Hisrashlu be'avoda on line 4. It means that they had a laid back attitude towards the Beis HaMikdash and towards the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. They were no longer thrilled or excited or overly zealous or dedicated to it. You can imagine, Rabosai, that if Emir Tzashem will live to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in our time, you know, initially, wow, everyone's going to be excited about it. But the real litmus test is down the line. You know, the 200 years had passed since the building of the second Mikdash. That's a long period of time. Not only that, there were a bunch of stukim running around trying to control the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have a situation in which the entire Klal Yisrael was dedicated with a great deal of excitement to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Nisrashlu Ba'avoda. And I'm adding that, you know, things over the course of time, you know there's a pasuk that we read on Tisha B'Av from Parshas, what's after Dvarim, Vaschanon, and it says, David El Shantim Ba'aretz. You remember that pasuk? You know, you come to Eretz Yisrael, you get very excited. The people come. But then, V'noshantim Ba'aretz, you know, it becomes Yashan, it becomes old, and we begin to take things for granted. I remember the first time I was 16 years old, I came to the land of Israel, and I saw signs in Hebrew. I like freaked out, you know. What do you mean signs in Hebrew? You know, but today, who pays any attention to signs in Hebrew? Are you spoiled for the fact that everything is written in Hebrew? You know, nothing. We get used to it. That's called V'noshantim Ba'aretz. You know, there are people who go to the Kotel all the time, and I applaud them, but sometimes if you go to the Kotel too often, it becomes V'noshantim, you know, you take it for granted. I try to explain to my children what the Six-Day War was like in my time. You know, I was 17 years old, or 16 years old. And, you know, the excitement. But today, like, you know, they read about it in the history books. You know, it doesn't mean that much to them. And even we ourselves get so used to, you know, to Sheshet Hayamim that we don't pay attention to what an unbelievable occurrence took place and how it impacted on Klal Yisrael. So there was a point in Jewish history where, according to the Bach, Nisrashlu Ba'avoda. Nisrashlu means, you know, let's take our time. We don't have to be so dedicated. So as we'll soon see, There are two paradigms of the relationship between a Jew and Almighty God. One is called Banim, and the other is called Avodim. Banim means, in this particular presentation, that a son is so dedicated to his father out of a genuine love that he tries to figure out, how can I bring Nachas Ruach? How can I satisfy my father's needs? Above and beyond the letter of the law. It doesn't mean that my father asked me for a cup of tea. I'm asking my father, can I bring you a cup of tea? Right? Or I'm asking my father, can I cover you? Maybe you're cold. What can I do for you? There's nothing that I can't do for my father. You know, people who experience avelus nevach and they lose a parent. You know, a lot of the avelus is, oh, if my father was alive, what could I do for my father? What didn't I do for my father when he was alive? That's called a relationship of a ben. Then we have another paradigm called an eved. An eved tries to get away with whatever he can. You know, he's a servant. He's a paid employee. He's not in it for the, you know, for his business. You know, he's not building up his name or achieving his vision in life. He doesn't have that kind of relationship of a ben. He's going to do what he has to do, make sure he can collect his salary check and he doesn't lose his job. He'll cut corners if he can. He'll do the barest minimum that he's required. So what was the attitude of the Jewish people that brought about the gzera of the Yevanim against the Beis HaMikdash? says the Rebach, it was Hisrashlu Bavoda. Oh, you guys are laid back about the Avoda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yieh gzera levata let mehem es Avoda. The Yevanim are going to be metame everything. They're going to enjoin you from doing the Avoda and make it impossible for you to do the Avoda. So according to the Bach's theory, there's a mida keneged mida over here. And we learned in a brisa that gozra aleim levatal atomid vadlokas aminorah. There were many different aspects of the Avoda of the Mikdash that were decreed, that were prohibited. Ukshechazu b'tshuva. Here's the punchline of the Bach. That what brought about the miracle of Chanukah, after all, God punished us because Visrashus Bavoda, and He took away the Migdash from us. What brought it back? What was the tshuva process all about? And the answer is Moser Nefesh al Avoda. The Beis HaMikdash was so endeared to us, was so important to us, that we would be willing to give up our lives, sacrifice our lives for the sake of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Chashmonoim. That's the Yeshua. And Hoshiyam Hashem al Yidei HaKohanim Ovdei Avoda B'Bayis B'Beis Hashem. It's not coincidental, says the Bach, that the Yeshua is going to come through the Kohanim because they are in charge of the Avoda. And Hashem is saying, you know what? Now I see how important the Avoda is to you. I'm going to give you back the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if this be the case, if the entire Yeshua, the punishment and the chet and then the Yeshua, the tshuva is all about the Beis HaMikdash, everything is about spirituality. And therefore, what is the nature of the celebration of Chanukah? It's all about Halav Odah. Halav Odah, he calls Avoda. We don't have the Beis HaMikdash today, so we cannot fulfill the Avoda. So what do we have instead of the Avoda? We have Tefillah. And Tefillah takes on a specific mold in the cases of Hallel and Odah. And that's what this holiday is all about. It's all about Hallel Odah as Avoda. This is our Avoda to replace the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now he quotes the Gemara Bava Basra in the next paragraph. And the Gemara says, Atem kriyim bonim. The Atem kriyim avodim. The Gemara quotes various verses in Tanakh. Sometimes we, the people of Israel, are referred to as bonim. Other times we're called avodim. Even in the liturgy of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we say, Im ka avodim, im ka bonim. Says the Gemara, Bizman sha'osim ritzono shel makom. By the way, it's a little tricky on the eye, the way they published it. Just make sure you don't go all the way up to the top. You got to go across it. So, Bizman sha'osim ritzon shel makom atem kriyim bonim. Bizman sha'ein osim ritzon shel makom atem kriyim avodim. This is a very paradoxical Gemara. How can the Gemara say lo osim ritzon shel makom are called avodim? An eved you have to grant him at least the very least is that he's doing the ratzon of his master. Now you're telling me that the Jewish people ain't osim ritzon shel makom and were called avodim. So Rav Itzel of Petterburg, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He's one of the great shining lights of the Musa movement. He was a Talmud of Rav Yisrael. And his stepson from a second marriage was the Rosh Shiva in Yeshiva University. Anyway, Rav Itzel says the following. We think that when the Gemara says "Ein osim ritzono shel makom," it means that chas shalom, we're off the derech. That's not what it means. It depends on what kind of attitude we have towards the mitzvahs. Do we have the attitude of a ben, or do we have the attitude of an evan? In both cases, we're observing the mitzvahs. But the question is in what frame of reference? What it means, ein osim ritzono shel makom. We're not interested in the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to bring him nachas ruach, to try to do the maximum. Aval osim tzivui greda. Okay, that you have to underline. Greda means the bare bones minimum of the tzivui. But ein osim ritzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiben. A ben loves his father, and if he wants to go to all the extremes to do what he can for his beloved father. Misha oiv laKadosh Baruch Hu kiben lo yomar l'day b'mesha omar or b'mesha osa. In other words, if he really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a son loves a father, then he's not going to say, "Well, I did enough. You know, I read all the tefillos, the Kriyat Shema, the Shmon Esrei. I'll just do what I have to do and what I'm required to do." That's not a relationship of a ben who loves his father. If a ben loves his father, he will declare, if I know and I appreciate what God's will is notel azeh, arba bazeh, I'll give whatever I can in multiples, multitudes. The archiv also, and I'll expand the scope. I'm not going to restrict and limit it. It's not going to be as he calls it, tzivui greda, but on the contrary, we're going to broaden it archiv also because of that love. If I can only judge and weigh what would HaKadosh Baruch be happy with, I'm going to go all out. That's called a ben. And he quotes a sugya in Brachos as the paradigm for these two relationships. The relationship of a ben and the relationship of an eved. Again, in both cases, when we're called badim or we're called avadim, we're doing the ratzon of Hashem. But the question is with what attitude and with what dedication and devotion and to what extent are we willing to put ourselves out. We are called badim when we act as a ben out of love to his father and we're going to try to do the maximum that we can, go to all ends of the world. In the case of Einatam Osim Mitzon Shalmok, it means we observe the mitzvahs as an Eved who's doing the bare mitzvahs. He calls it Mitzvahs Greda. And the paradigm of this is a famous Gemara in Brachos of what's called the Chassidim Arishonim. This is before the Baal Shem Tov. And the Chassidim Arishonim would do what? Oh, there are two ways for the farmer to bring his produce in. One way is to bring it through the back door. And in such a case, he's parted from Trumas of Maestros. On the other hand, if I bring it through the front door, that's called the Traximon, then I'm bringing it in a way that deliberately I be chayv in Maser, which means another 10% that I have to give, but I'm doing it for the opportunity to be Mekayim that minute. In later generations, they weren't such chassidim. So they would circumvent the law of Maser. How can you circumvent the Chiyuv Maser? You bring the peros in through the gag, through the roof, or through a chotzer, not through the front door. And that's called Shalom Kederch Biyosem and Kedei Lefotram in Maser. So look at the difference between these two paradigmic generations of Jews. One generation of Jews will look for a Chiyuv and try to enter into the situation, the matzav of a chiyuv, of a mitzvah. That's called a ben. The other is going to try to do the barest minimum, and if you give them a secret way of circumventing the mitzvah, they'll take advantage of that, because they don't have the av of a ben, they're just serving out of a sense of an eved. And he finishes this up on page Kuf Nun, and he says the following. He says in the name of the Ramchal that Oiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ava Mitis Lo Yaniach Avodos L'Shum Tam Sheba'olam. Why is it that the Baal HaTfilah, meaning the Yanshe Knesset HaGdol, established this Al-Nisim? They said, Bo Bonecha L'Dvir Be'Secha. This was our glorious moment of becoming Bonim with an Ava Mitis, in which we're not going to leave the Avoda for anything. And no matter how much omets, how much courage and energy and dedication we need, even to the point of sacrificing our lives, we're going to do that for the sake of the avoda, because we love the avoda, and that relationship is a relationship of ben who has ava. So in other words, the chet, according to the Bach, that brought about this whole situation of the avoda was his rashlus b'avoda. Now, which means that we served God as avodim, right? His rashlus b'avoda. You know, wake me up and tell me to do whatever I have to do, and that's about it. And then I'm going back to sleep. It's a different kind of an attitude. But the tshuva, the process of repentance, was to achieve bonecha. That's why it says v'yakach bo bonecha l'dvir beisecha. Achakach means after all the shmad and all the gzeros, which were in the wake of our hisrashus b'avodah, where we serve God as avodim, now bo banecha, now we rise up to the level of banim. It means we have the av of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to do whatever we can without leaving any stone unturned or any leaf unturned, that we're going to dedicate ourselves to avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to be banim with mesirus nefesh. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that be the case, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, the miracles, in order to bring, to replace or return the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash to Klal Yisrael. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here. And there's a lot more here if you get a chance. Beautiful stuff to read it. I wish everyone a great Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Belina, I hope to see you.
What is this attitude of Bonin and Ezra? How does that differ to things like when the Rabbonim made a thing easier, like with a puzzle or with a tachana or semicolon?
How to reconcile that with all the...
Yeah, yeah.
I think in all those cases of what's called harama, Chazal felt that there was a pressing need to find a solution to a problem. There was a historical moment in which there was a great problem, and it could affect the entire finances of Klal Yisrael. It's like Shasa Sakono and Menichal Shulchano, and then they made these takanos to avoid this.
It's not so, classed as...
It's not what?
Not classed as like an Eved attitude.
Right. It's not typical of an Eved attitude at all. It's even within the context of Bonim, of Ava, sometimes the Chazal had to make takonos, you know, for a very specific pressing reason. You know, you take the case of takonos atachonim, you know, the Havdalah in Tefillah. It seems like a way of circumventing Avdol al Yayin, but the Gemara says that they Pasha couldn't afford a cup of wine. It was so expensive. And Chos Rachman al Mamonim Shal Yisrael. So in that pressing need, you have a case of a person who's homeless, and they made a takana of Re'iyas HaNer, you know, that he can make a bracha Haroa Ner Chanuk. It wasn't that they were trying to circumvent the need for adlaka and all the mitzvah, but here you have a homeless person. I mean, he doesn't have a bias. How is he going to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? So in that urgent situation, they made a takana. You know, you have whiskey, which is worth hundreds of dollars. So you're a chametz seller. That's where you make your meat. So what are you going to do? You're going to just destroy all your chametz? Tashbisu sar matechem? You're left penniless. So they made a takana of mechiras chametz, and it sounds like, you know, an eved as opposed to a ben.
Yeah,
but it's not. It's just a takana to facilitate the, you know, that we can survive Pesach without having to close our geshef, you know, and give up our whole parnos.